Hello, this is Janice Schweizer with the Pantograph for Tuesday, May 26th, 2026. We begin on the front page with People Come Together for Parade to Honor Sacrifices by Caitlin Klepek. Memorial Day kicked off Monday morning in Bloomington with the annual parade from downtown to Miller Park, the site of ceremonies honoring veterans and especially those who died in the service of their country. Hundreds of people gathered to watch more than 40 parade entries gather at 9 a.m. at the corner of Front and Madison Streets before heading south and west to the city's historic park. This year, retired Air Force Colonel David Terrinoni, who served as a chaplain, was honored as the keynote speaker. His over three decades of service made him a great choice, said Danielle Abrams, commander of American Legion's Carl S. Martin Post 635 in Normal and parade president. Jill Henry, American Legion member and Illinois ambassador to the Military Women's Memorial, served as a keynote speaker in 2025 and returned this year to honor veterans. The parade is a very good opportunity to teach the young people, the children, and their families what family means and the sacrifices that have taken place, Henry said. Abrams, who spent several years in the Army before moving back home to Bloomington, attending school and beginning a job in information technology, has been a part of the planning and organization committee for the Bloomington Memorial Day Parade for 4 years. She said planning for the parade as early as February and applications for spots in the lineup opened in April. Participants included many political groups, community organizations, and schools, and patrons came out to support these groups too. Megan Hopper cheered as her child, Luca, played the trombone in the Bloomington High School marching band. The mother said her 16-year-old child has been preparing for a few weeks, along with other members of the band and upcoming eighth graders who will be joining the band in the next school year. She believes the parade is important to remind people about our freedom and our right to believe what we believe and love who we love and support who we support. Abrams noted that in an election year, local politics played a huge role in the 2026 parade, with participants including McLean County Democrats and Republicans and candidates for sheriff. As always, veterans and patriotic groups such as the American Legion and Veterans of Foreign Wars participated, along with the Sons of the American Revolution and the Daughters of the American Revolution. The Rotarians and Boy Scouts each also carried 50 American flags. In addition to the usual groups, Abrams spoke of an independent float which showcased a gigantic American bald eagle with an American flag in its mouth. The sides of the float displayed the motto, "Our strength is our people," and "From sea to shining sea" was on the back. "He was just a very patriotic human being," said Abrams of the participant that entered the float, and he wanted to be in the parade. Downtown resident Dave Olson came outside to walk his corgi, Tovey, as he regularly does throughout the area. He and his pup came out with his family to watch as the parade came down Front Street. He said he enjoyed the freedom to be outside and the downtown environment. "It's just nice to have everybody together in one area, especially after COVID propped up and everything," Olson said. "People get out, support each other, and have a bunch of different people in the parade here just showing support." An organizer said getting people together to support one another while honoring veterans is what the parade is really all about. "It's kind of a dual token, you know. It's a community event that you can bring your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, nephews, neighbors, whoever you want, you know. Come out, enjoy a nice afternoon," said Abrams. "It's also a chance to remember those who have passed away, which is the point of the holiday, remembering people who gave their lives." Henry agreed and echoed Abrams' sentiment. "That's what today is about, for adults to remember why they're free because of the sacrifices of fellow Americans who have died," Henry said. "It is a good way to teach the children why they're in a free country and why our country is special. It's the only country on earth like it." Other local news briefs. We have one arrested after fight, shots fired by D. Jack Elkiri. A man has been arrested in McLean County after police said he shot at a vehicle following a brawl Sunday morning. According to information provided by the McLean County State's Attorney's Office, Bloomington officers were dispatched about 9:35 a.m. Saturday for reports of a fight and possible shots fired in the area of Gridley and Jefferson Streets. No one was fighting when officers arrived, but witnesses told police a fight had broken out, a person had driven a car into two people, and two people had shot at the car as it drove away. Police recovered a number of spent rounds at the scene. No one was struck by gunfire, but officers spoke to people who had been hurt in the fight. One of those witnesses identified one of the shooters by name. The suspect was also seen on surveillance video at the scene, according to the court documents. The suspected shooter was arrested Saturday, charged with 7 felony offenses related to the reported shooting, including aggravated discharge of a firearm, a Class 1 felony. From Peoria, we have the asking price for a former Peoria landmark has been lowered. The listing price for the historic Peoria Armory building owned by Kim Blickenstaff's KDB Group has been reduced to $200,000. Blickenstaff listed the armory along with a slew of other properties for sale in 2023. The original asking price for the more than 100-year-old building was $599,000. When Blickenstaff purchased a 50% stake in the armory in 2019, there were plans proposed to restore it and make it something tangible for the community to use. However, those plans never came to fruition before Blickenstaff abruptly listed many of his Peoria properties for sale in 2023. The armory building needs major restoration, as it has been sitting roofless at 523 Northeast Adams Street, exposing its interior to the elements. And a person was hospitalized Friday morning after they and a group of people were exposed to toxic gases at a Peoria apartment complex. According to the Peoria Fire Department, firefighters responded to Grandview Apartment Homes in the 5200 block of North Knoxville Avenue at 8:40 a.m. after they received a report that multiple people had been exposed to a toxic chemical and were having respiratory issues. When they arrived on the scene, they discovered there had been a release of toxic gases due to the combination of two chemicals, forcing them to upgrade to full hazmat response. One person was overcome by the toxic fumes and required treatment from paramedics before they were transported to a local hospital. Fire investigators eventually determined that the cause of the chemical reaction was accidental. And we also have having a ball at Corn Crib, sports and entertainment. Chicago Snowballs debut Sportainment in Normal by DJack Alcuri. The Chicago Snowballs rolled into Normal's Corn Crib this weekend for their inaugural season of family-friendly sportstainment, blending acrobatics, dance, and a good not-so-old-fashioned baseball. The Snowballs and their perpetual partner rivals, the Rocket Squirrels, play a unique game that blends traditional elements of baseball, 8 fielding positions plus a pitcher, 3 bases plus home, 3 outs per inning, and the regular ball versus strike hitting zone, but they also incorporate custom, chaos-inducing rules for maximum entertainment value, said Snowballs manager Corey McMahon. It's a baseball game, but it's a show. Make no mistake about it, McMahon said, about 45 minutes before first pitch Saturday. The baseball is real. The show is a little bit more choreographed. I just want fans to love it. McMahon has coached baseball for 25 years, he said, but he also has a background in theater and film. As a coach, I love the fact that we have some true big league ballplayers out here. I also love the fact that we have entertainers learning to be big league ball players, he said. There's things to learn both ways. So we have players teaching each other, developing each other, and we, the coaches, are developing the full player. And if we can develop 40 athlete performers through the two teams, great baseball athletes, entertainers, and showmen for the crowd, that's the perfect combination. The Snowballs and the Squirrels carry around a 40-person roster featuring both male and female players, most of whom have a background playing baseball or softball, and many of whom have experience in show. The resulting performance blends theatrics, athleticism, showmanship, and charisma that they hope wows fans young and old. We want them to feel like they've walked away feeling like they saw something they've never seen before in their life, said Snowball's third baseman, Rick Patrica. And they also want to motivate youths to break the chains of normality. Snowball pitcher Layla Summers added, "For me, as a woman, I want to inspire little girls to know that they can play with the boys and kind of combine that art of performing with playing into something super fun." The Snowballs take inspiration from two rather famous sports entertainers and founder and CEO Sherry Travis, the Harlem Globetrotters and the Savannah Bananas. The Savannah Bananas were founded in 2015 as a college group that would, according to their website, bend the rules and make baseball fun. They have since grown to six teams and are touring the United States, selling out arenas and ballparks like Wrigley Field and Wrigley Field in Chicago. The league has since expanded to six competitive and performance teams. However, unlike the Globetrotters, who were scripted to defeat the Washington Generals just about every night, there is a real sense of competition between the Snowballs and the Squirrels, Travis said. They're two really well-matched teams. There's no foregone conclusion as to who wins, so it's a good game, she said. But the whole point is to have fun. The final score Saturday favored the Snowballs 5-2 over the Squirrels, with a similar 4-2 victory in Sunday's match. And low-scoring games are going to be common, McMahon said, because in each of the first six innings, only one run counts. So a team can only ever score zero or one run in the first six, with the seventh and final inning being a free-for-all, he said. The goal is to make the game fast by making innings fast, McMahon said. Then, the number of successful trick plays are added to get the final score. Either way, the first weekend of Snowballs Baseball was a fan success, drawing well over 2,400 ticket sales. Even still, the Snowballs are something that has to be seen to be understood, said Shelby Hibbins, director of fan engagement at the Corn Crib. It's insane. I mean, we saw them on social media, but you don't really know what they're doing. To see them engage with the fans and the kids, it's insane, she said. And the Corn Crib was abuzz to host their inaugural weekend. It's amazing. I mean, this is their opening night, so we get to experience everything that they've been practicing for forever, Hibbins said. She credited the Snowballs' ownership, namely Travis, for helping facilitate the start at the Corn Crib. She's just been so unbelievably excited that we were willing to do this with her, Hibbins said. We've been working with her for months now to get it here and giving the players a chance to show what they've learned, what they've experienced, and bring another banana-type ball league to us. It's amazing. But Travis is not trying to copy the Bananas. She wants to make that style of entertainment more accessible to fans, given how successful the Banana League is, she said. There's obviously great demand, and we're hoping to fill a void, before Saturday's pitch. When we came to Bloomington, we want people to see this. We want people to have fun. We've offered free tickets to a lot of charitable organizations because we want people to come out and have fun. I think we're all starved for some joy and laughter. The world is turbulent. And you know, people are stressed. And the Snowballs and Squirrels are here to bring that laughter, said Snowballs shortstop Logan Riley. I'm hoping we can just create a good environment for the fans, he said, surrounded by his family from Sycamore, Illinois. Our main goal is just creating a million smiles. Leading up to the third inning, Benny Schrock, 14, was in foul territory in left field performing a backflip alongside Snowballs second baseman Raekwon Miner. Benny's dad, Eric, brought his two baseball-playing loving sons from Congerville. I've been trying to just figure out the rules and what's going on, but it's a good time. It's entertaining, Schrock said. A few moments later, another curveball hit his understanding. During the third inning of Snowball's games, base running is reversed, meaning a base runner needs to run to third base first, then second, then first, and finally to home. Man, I would mess that up, Schrock said. Those kind of antics are still difficult to grasp for McMahon, who has been with the team for many months. When you see your first ever reverse double play, I still can't wrap my head around it, he said, laughing. Players have to adjust their expectations as well, said Jimmy Yanow, a versatile utility player for the Squirrels who can field most positions. In fact, playing with the Squirrels is Yanow's off-season gig as he plays professionally in Australia with the Benlai Hawks from September to March. C. Summers, who played college softball for St. Xavier University, still pitches underhand, something Yanow is rather uncomfortable with, he said. Brutal, Yanow said, smiling and thinking about her drop ball pitch. I've seen a lot of moving pitches in my day, and I've never seen a pitch like hers. I don't ever want to hit against her. And yet, at the end of the day, despite the rivalry between the Snowballs and the Squirrels, they all want one another to succeed, Patrika said, because the goal is putting on a great show. We want to beat each other, but we also want to see each other excel, he said. You know, I think that's the difference from regular baseball. Like, if Jimmy hits a great hit, I'm applauding. I want to see that. We want the fans ultimately to be happy. And good baseball like that, that's what's going to do it. To find out more and get tickets to a Chicago Snowballs game, visit www.chicagosnowballs.com. In more local news, we have two local students receive scholarships from Tawanda Lions Club by Olivia Jacobs. The Tawanda Lions Club recently presented its memorial scholarships to Caitlin Wesley and Evan Miller. The annual $750 scholarships are awarded to high school seniors in the Tawanda area who plan to pursue education and skilled trades training. The scholarships are named in memory of past club members and intended to contribute to the success of Tawanda youth, according to a news release. Wesley plans to attend the Electrical Hall to pursue interior wireman certification. Miller plans to attend Heartland Community College to determine what specific technical field he wishes to pursue, but he is currently considering becoming a wind turbine technician. According to a statement from the scholarship committee, these students both have excelled academically, exhibited exceptional work ethic in school and workplace, and have given their time and effort to better their community. D. Jack Alcuri writes, Heartland Theater announces 8 10-minute plays about Route 66. Heartland Theater Company's 24th season kicks off Thursday, May 28th, with a Pay What You Can preview showcasing the 8 10-minute plays to be shown through June 13th in celebration of Route 66. Showtimes are at 7:30 p.m. May 28th through the 30th, June 4th through 6th, and June 11th through 13th. Matinee performances are scheduled for 2 p.m. on May 31st, June 7th, and June 13th. You can preview the preview May 28th is Pay What You Can, but tickets for regular shows are $21 for general admission, $19 for senior and military, and $10 for students. Group rates are also available. The 8 shows were selected from hundreds of submissions and are all directed by Darlene Lloyd, Scott Myers, Dave Montague, and Jason Vales. A special panel discussion is planned for June 7th following the matinee performance, featuring representatives from the theater company, the McLean County Museum of History, and Sprague's Super Service. To purchase tickets, visit heartlandtheater.org or email boxoffice@heartlandtheater.org. The last item on the front page is from the Mideast War. Countries discuss potential Iran deal. Trump says talks going nicely, offers warning. By Michael Martina and Elwili, with Reuters. Iran's top negotiator and its foreign minister were in Doha for talks with Qatar's prime minister On a potential deal with the U.S. to end the three-month-old war, an official briefed on the visit said Monday, after Washington and Tehran played down hopes for an imminent breakthrough. Earlier, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio told reporters in New Delhi that the U.S. would give diplomacy every chance to succeed before considering whether to deal with Iran in, quote, another way. There was a pretty solid thing on the table in terms of their ability to open up the strait, get the Strait of Hormuz open, enter into a very real, significant, time-limited negotiation on the nuclear matter, and hopefully we can pull it off, Rubio said. In a lengthy social media post, President Donald Trump said talks with Iran were going nicely, but warned of fresh attacks if they failed. It, quote, will only be a great deal for all or no deal at all, he wrote. In his post, Trump urged more Arab and Muslim states to sign up to the Abraham Accords, which were brokered during his first term in office and aimed to normalize ties between Arab and other Muslim-majority states and Israel. He said Saudi Arabia and Qatar should immediately sign up and everyone else should follow suit, calling his request mandatory. He also said the countries would be honored to have Iran as part of the accords once a deal to end the war is reached. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office did not immediately respond to a request for comment on Trump's post. Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson, Esmael Baghaei, said in a weekly briefing Monday that a conclusion was reached on many topics, but that does not mean we're close to signing an agreement. The official briefed on the Iranians' Doha visit told Reuters the discussions were focused primarily on the Strait of Hormuz and Iran's stockpile of highly enriched uranium, while the country's central bank governor is also part of the delegation to discuss the potential release of frozen Iranian funds as part of a final deal. Baghaei said the potential memorandum of understanding contains 14 points and is focused on ending the war and the U.S. naval blockade of the Strait of Hormuz in exchange for Iran taking steps to ensure safe transit through the strategic waterway. He said the talks were not yet focusing on nuclear issues, however, which will be negotiated over a 60-day period if the framework accord is agreed. Trump said his key aim in the war is to prevent Iran from developing a nuclear weapon with its highly enriched uranium. Tehran consistently denied it has plans to do that. As efforts to reach a deal continued, Iran said it downed a hostile stealth drone using new air defense system, Iranian news agencies reported, without saying where it had come from. This is a sign from us that no more stealth drones can penetrate the skies of the Persian Gulf, Fars quoted unidentified officials as saying. Baghaei said the potential accord contained no specific details on management of the strait, through which about one-fifth of the world's oil and liquefied gas usually flows. Iran will not charge tolls for ships to pass through, Baghaei said. However, he added there would be a cost for services offered such as navigation and steps to protect the environment under a protocol to be signed with Oman, which shares the opposite shore of the waterway. The strait has been effectively closed since the U.S. and Israel launched strikes on Iran in February 28th, with only a handful of vessels passing through, compared with about 125 to 140 daily before the conflict. Iran's state TV said Monday that 32 vessels and 5 oil tankers passed through the Strait of Hormuz in 24 hours with the authorization of Iran's Revolutionary Guards naval forces, and it reiterated that no vessel would be allowed to transit without coordination with the IRGC. The energy crisis due to the Hormuz standoff caused a spike in oil prices and drove up the costs of fuel, fertilizer, and food. Oil prices fell more than 4% to two-week lows on Monday, on optimism that the U.S. and Iran might be moving closer to a deal. Trump, whose approval ratings were hit by the war's impact on U.S. energy prices, and who faced congressional efforts to curb his war powers, has repeatedly played up the prospect of a deal to end the war. The two sides remain at odds on several issues, however, including Israel's war in Lebanon with the Iranian-backed Hezbollah militants and Tehran's demands for the lifting of sanctions and the release of tens of billions of dollars of Iranian oil revenues frozen in foreign banks. Israeli Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich on Monday called on Netanyahu to resume bombing Beirut in response to Hezbollah's increased explosive drone attacks on Israeli troops in northern Israel towns. For every explosive drone, 10 buildings should fall in Beirut, Smotrich said in a statement. His comments came after an Israeli soldier was killed by a Hezbollah drone attack Sunday. Israeli media reported that he made similar remarks at a cabinet meeting on Sunday. Israeli media reported that Netanyahu rejected Smotrich's demands and preferred defensive measures. A Netanyahu spokesperson declined to comment. And on Tuesday, Jerry Vogler, the superintendent of the McLean County Veterans Assistance Commission, writes the Veterans Corner. VA Veterans Readiness and Employment Program has used vocational rehabilitation panels, which typically involved vocational rehabilitation counselors, medical professionals, and other specialists to assist with rehabilitation planning. This process tended to be slow and cumbersome because it involves gathering too many professionals who may not know the veteran or have direct knowledge of their specific needs. VA is proposing to eliminate these panels to ensure decisions are based on the most accurate and timely information from those who know the veteran's needs best, making the Veterans Readiness and Employment Program more efficient and easier for veterans to access the services they need. Utilizing veterans' current treatment providers makes the Veterans Readiness and Employment Program more nimble and more responsive to the known conditions that need to be addressed. For more details about the Veterans Readiness and Employment Program, you can browse VR&E. The Department of Veterans Affairs has been attempting to develop and implement an electronic health record system for several years and has had several stops and starts and misfires in getting it up and running. The new technology and its urgency to be implemented are fully demonstrated in the implementation of a new healthcare process change called Fast Track PGX. This facilitates the delivery of strong pharmacogenomics-driven, a combination of pharmaceutical and genetic information, treatments when a genetic component might be involved in a patient's condition. It formerly took manual entry of information from the care provider into the PGX system and up to a two-week time delay in getting results of the PGX analysis. This delayed the decision on what treatment options could produce the best results for the veteran. The interface using the electronic health record system allows direct digital input of provider information through the Fast Track PGX program. This new process empowers providers to more quickly tailor medications based on patients' genes, consequently leading to better health outcomes and with potentially lower healthcare costs. Improvement systems such as this are only possible with a strong electronic records system. The electronic health record system will allow faster, more accurate transfer of critical information, which will provide better, quicker health care for veterans. And with that, we conclude the reading of the Pantograph for Tuesday, May 26, 2026, Part 1. I'm Janice Schweizer, and I will return shortly with Part 2.